Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Carved a path of utter devastation across the southeast after making landfall on Florida's Gulf Coast Thursday. At least 88 people have died across six states as floodwaters engulfed homes. A third of those deaths was in North Carolina's Buncombe County, where entire towns have been decimated. And a desperate search for survivors continues as hundreds are still missing.
We really don't even know what we don't know at this point. And by the way, the number of dead is so high that we don't even know the number right now. It's somewhere around 100. I hear every different news source has a different number. I heard 91, 97, 87, 99. I mean, we don't even know for sure. And that's the parts where we have enough operational ability in, you know, Florida and Georgia. West North Carolina is a war zone right now. I mean, just like it's been destroyed. Eastern Tennessee, you know, same. We don't even have enough infrastructure for information to even know who's dead, let alone to know who's missing. You know, in the small town areas, you know, focus a lot of has been on Asheville, which is rightly so. I mean, Asheville's been destroyed. I don't know what to say. I have relatives who lived there, and they fled. They went to Charlotte. You know, a couple of days without cell service, without power, without, you know, there's no food. The people are going down to the Publix and they can only spend cash. And then that's not there. And the gas, I mean, there's nothing. And, you know, I was reading a news report said that, you know, the plan is to send in trucks today, like to get food into Asheville. And then there's areas north of there that, you know, you have these little teeny mountain towns that are just, I don't want to exaggerate it, but, you know, wiped off the map because of the flooding. You know, this thing has been absolutely horrendous for that area of the country. And that's why when we talk about hundreds missing, it's, I mean, you know, hundreds, a thousand, maybe people we don't even have accounting for. Don't know where they are after Helene. And, you know, you say, well, how on earth could it wasn't that strong of a hurricane? Flooding, flooding, flooding. It's always water. You know, wind is quick, fast, and produces, you know, you can see the damage, right? Because you can see the roof or you can see the tree or whatever. It's always flooding. And the, you know, even though the overall, like if you look at some of the averages, you know, some of the rainfall, you're only in some places talking about 11 or 12 inches. Those are the only places. In other places, the number is unbelievable. I just give you a quick rundown. Like in Florida, okay, bad rain in Apalachicola, right? 9.5 inches, 9.2 inches. Sumatra, Florida got almost 16. Wilma got 12, okay? Then in Georgia, Tallulah, Dillard, 14 inches. The airport in Atlanta got 11 inches. You say, well, 11 inches not... Yeah, it really is for areas that don't get a lot. And I'm getting there, but I'm just giving you kind of the overall context. If you look at a map of the Southeast, the airport in... is it... How do you say it? Eufaula, Alabama, is that how you say it? Okay. Eufaula is 9.5 inches, the airport there. Auburn, Opelika, 7 inches. In Kentucky, you had about 6 inches, okay? Virginia, you saw some areas about 9 inches. Tennessee, you saw 7 to 9 inches. South Carolina, Table Rock, you had 14 inches. Salem, you got 14 inches. Columbia had 10.5. In North Carolina, you ready for this? This is unbelievable. Mount Mitchell State Park got 24 inches of rain. You remember the flood of 2014 when 24 inches of rain fell at the airport and destroyed streets around there? Remember? Remember the blowout of the dam up at IP and all of the flooding took place at Bristol Park? And we were rescuing people out of their houses, out of the roofs with jet skis, cutting holes in the roofs with chainsaws in the middle of the night because people couldn't get out because they fled to the upper level and they couldn't get out because of the flooding. You remember what 2014 was like? Okay, that was 24 inches in like very isolated parts of our area. Boone got 20 inches. I think it's Busick. I'm not sure how you say it. Busick or Busick in North Carolina. 30.78 inches. 30 inches of rain. So you had like a dam that was, they warned everybody the dam was going to break. Massive dam. They warned everybody. It didn't, but they had to, you know, people were trying to evacuate and they could barely get out because of it. And if you haven't seen any of the, you know, the pictures, I did share one post. There's a really, really good Facebook page out of North Carolina where he's just like covering it all. It's crazy. It's amazing what he's been showing. But like I-40 is completely shut down. If you look on a Google map, it, like every road between Charlotte and Knoxville just doesn't exist. It's closed, okay? And a lot of the interstate has been washed out, flooded bridges, broken bridges. You know, there was a rescue of people at a hospital where, like, so the rain started coming and the floodwaters start coming. So they call the ambulances to come get our people out of the hospital, a smallish hospital, okay? But come get our people out of the hospital. The ambulances can't get there because the rain and the roaring water is too high for them to pass. So then they call in the helicopters. And the helicopters say, we can't fly there. The wind is too bad. Not even to land on the roof. So you've got like 50 people up on the roof of a hospital. The water gets to within about a foot of the top of that roof. I mean, if it goes up, they're dead. All dead. But they finally get helicopters to land on the roof in the middle of this flooding because the wind had subsided enough for it to be safe for them to do that. Like, that's the kind of stuff that's been happening with this storm. I mean, they actually put out a thing on the, you know how when you're driving down the road and you see those signs from FDOT that tell you all kinds of different things and, you know, usually it's not all that important, or at least you don't feel like it is. They actually put up a sign on the signboards in North Carolina that said, do not travel in Western North Carolina. Because there's no roads that are safe to travel on. So it's been really, really, really bad in that part of the country. And of course, you know, we have seen horrible things and, you know, they're not really accustomed to it because they don't, you know, it's a hurricane to them in North Carolina, you know, it's not common. But this is unbelievable, the level of devastation. I mean, you know, we got hit with a hurricane bad in Florida, right? Governor DeSantis, this is amazing. Governor DeSantis is doing kind of a, just a, you know, feel better barbecue the other day where he's, you know, just kind of making people aware of what's going on and trying to, you know, do a little public service and help the people out and give them hope. And he says,
we also have authorized sending relief, recovery and rescue assets to North Carolina. If you look at the western part of that state, that's been devastation. I mean, there's roads blown out, there's bridges. Obviously, it's very difficult terrain for anybody that's been over there. And there's a lot of people that are basically cut off. There's not a way you can really get a lot of things on the ground in there. So we have Chinook helicopters. We have Florida State Guard. We've got others that are going to go there to be able to offer assistance.
Florida got hit by a hurricane, and we're dealing with our own recovery. You know, the Big Bend area got hammered, and Tampa and everything north of it, right? You've seen all of that. But Florida is kind of, you know, accustomed to this, right? We know how to deal with this stuff. It's so bad in North Carolina that we're actually sending stuff to North Carolina from Florida.
We're also looking, like we've done with Israel after October 7th, like we did when Haiti deteriorated even further. If there are Floridians in that area that need to be rescued, you can sign up for that. They're working on putting that information out, and hopefully there's not. But in that part of the country, it draws a lot of people from Florida over the summertime. I think most people probably go back to Florida around Labor Day, but not all. Some stay through October. So we'll see if there's a demand for that. But our view is if we're going to go halfway around the world and rescue people from Israel, we got to also be willing to go and bring some helicopters into the mountains and rescue people there if they need that type of assistance.
We've rescued Floridians from Haiti and Israel after the terrorist attack in Israel. We are now rescuing people or trying to see if we need to rescue Floridians from North Carolina. Florida Department of Emergency Management has sent in a hazard team, a communication strike team, telecommunications emergency response team, 10 truckloads of water, 100 Starlinks. Florida State Guard has sent in about a dozen people. Florida National Guard has sent in about a dozen people and two Chinooks. That's the twin rotor helicopters, big old ones, if you, I don't know how to describe it. The big sea lift helicopters, okay? Airlift helicopters. Florida Department of Law Enforcement sent in about, I don't know, 20, 16 or 18 people. Florida Fish and Wildlife has sent in about 30 or 40 different people, you know, boats, aircraft, all of that. FDOT has sent, I mean, we're sending in infrastructure assessment teams and bridge inspection teams and temporary bridging materials and, you know, to try to get some of these roads open to get into these towns. I mean, it's, I don't have to say it. It's really, really bad in those areas. So just, man, you know, we say it, but it's hard to imagine. You know, the flooding is the issue. The water, you know, surge on the front end and flooding on the back end, because you know how this works, right? All the rain comes down and everything floods, and then all of a sudden the upstream effects of the flooding and the tributaries accumulate, and then you get more and more flooding. So just be praying for these folks. It's really, really bad. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down, get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avacincaptad pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Rosh Hashanah at Jackson's, Atlas Beverage Class, Harvest Dinner at Angelina's, flavors that forge the South Dinner at Jackson's, holiday parties, free martinis at Jackson's, and more. That's all Wednesday at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
At the height of hurricane season, are you sure your data is backed up? I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. Hurricanes can cause severe damage to buildings and IT infrastructure. Test your backups now to ensure your access in an emergency. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
I'm going to kill the wabbit.
Extra offensive lineman in there. They'll go to the left again. Big hole there. Eichelberger is in easy. Gets hit at the goal line by Canterbury, but He finds it from 7 yards out, and Grand Valley's up 6-0.
Grand Valley scored first against UWF Argos on Saturday, 7-0, with about 2 minutes left in the second quarter.
Avery Moore takes the snap. Hands to Woods on a stretch to the right, but nothing doing. They got guys in there. Cam Canterbury fumble picked up by Byron Puryear, and he's gone to the house. Touchdown, Argos. Defense scores. They've been carrying the water here this afternoon, and now they find the end zone. It's 7-6. Wow.
How about that?
Plus the point after, so a 37-yard pickup six. And what do they call it? It's a fumble recovery for a touchdown. I mean, it's a pick six when you intercept it. I'm calling it it's my term. I'm going to trademark this term. It's a pickup six when you fumble recover for a touchdown. I mean, it makes sense, right? Anyway, so 7-7 against Grand Valley State. And unfortunately, that tie game only lasts for about 1 minute and a half because 10 plays, 75 yards. They drove all the way back before the end of the half.
They'll take the snap. Moore's going to keep it. He's a big quarterback. He's going to get in easy before Walker Robinson brings him down in the end zone, but 2 yard touchdown run for Avery Moore.
Avery Moore, their star quarterback, in the third quarter with 11 minutes to go. Again, the keeper on the quarterback.
They'll stretch Moore out to the left, and he's going to get in easy. You said it. They just keep
easy,
on running.
Easy, all day easy. A field goal, and they were up at this point 24-7. And then in the third quarter, again, with a minute to go.
Big hole, right side, Khalil Eichenberger, 30, 20. He's going to score. Touchdown, Grand Valley, a huge run, 50 yards. And they are breaking the game wide open.
Yeah, that was the final, 31-7. UWF gets destroyed away at Grand Valley State in Michigan. The only score we put up on the board was that pickup six, was a defensive score. It's not what we have been accustomed to with UWF football, this high-scoring offense, you know, run and gun. But there we are. 527 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Games are always, of course, on our sister station, ESPN Pensacola, 99.1 AM 1330. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
An arraignment for the man suspected of plotting to assassinate former President Trump at his golf course is expected today. 58-year-old Ryan Ruth, of course, was found hiding in the bushes outside of that golf course. Ruth didn't fire any shots but was arrested after attempting to flee. Country music star and actor Kris Kristofferson has died at the age of 88. The multi-time Grammy winner and Lifetime Achievement Award recipient is known for songs like Me and Bobby McGee and For the Good Times. Also, the 1976 remake of A Star is Born. And the MetLife Stadium in New Jersey apparently chosen to host the final of the FIFA World Cup in 2026. The newly expanded competition will see 32 of the top club teams play in the tournament. The tournament final will be on July 19th, 2026.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 528 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Kind of an interesting development. You know, the ongoing lawsuit against the Escambia County School Board for removing certain books from the libraries. I think there's several different ones, but the one that's been in the news a little bit more has been the one with Entango Makes Three. You know, just a couple of these kids' books, basically. And that's a, you know, pro-gay kids' book. Look, two male penguins can raise a chick together, whatever. The back and forth on this was that there was a, you know, preliminary effort to dismiss the lawsuit. That did not work. There was also an effort to make it so that the board members would have to testify and give testimony explaining why exactly they voted to remove the book, because the premise of the lawsuit is to prove that it was sort of anti-gay bigotry, discrimination was the source of it, as opposed to just the policy itself. And what the defense lawyer for the board had been arguing is that they don't have to talk individually, and they don't have to give testimony individually as legislators. It is the action of the board that is being sued, not the intellectual machinations or the reasonings of the individual board members. And so, you know, there's a thing called, you've heard of executive privilege, where the executive branch doesn't have to give things over to the legislative branch. Well, there's a thing called legislative privilege, where legislators are protected from intrusive or invasive judicial actions like this one. That was the question: would they have to give testimony or not? And U.S. District Judge Alan Windsor has issued a report that says no, They don't have to. The board voted after hearing public input on a controversial issue about what types of books would be available to the public school children. Its decisions did not affect just these plaintiffs. It also made the book unavailable in all the county libraries. And the decision was thus unlike an individual personnel decision or some other administrative decision that affected only a few people. And it's a policy decision about how best to educate Escambia County children. The decision was legislative, so legislative privilege applies. See, what they were arguing, the other side was arguing, is that because they gave, like, sunshine and evidence from documents over, that they had waived privilege. The way if you say one thing, you waive your Fifth Amendment privilege. But that would say that complying with sunshine law would mean you waive legislative privilege, and that's nutty. So basically, the decision so far is that the school board is not going to have to provide testimony, although they have provided loads of documents related to the case.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. Former President Trump will be assessing damage from Helene in Valdosta, Georgia today. This is President Biden and Vice President Harris say they're going to visit the area soon. FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell telling CBS's Face the Nation infrastructure damage is significant.
Water systems, communication, roads, critical transportation routes, as well as several homes that have been just destroyed by this.
Trump is expected to speak at 2 o'clock Eastern time. Another debate is tomorrow. Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer has a preview.
Tim Walz and J.D. Vance are preparing to face off in their first and only debate on Tuesday. Microphones will not be muted. There will be no audience and there will be no opening statements.
And Fox News Radio will be providing live coverage and a simulcast of the CBS News vice presidential debate tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 68 degrees in Pensacola with clear skies. A semi-truck driver is dead after an accident in Santa Rosa County over the weekend. It happened Sunday afternoon on I-10. The Florida Highway Patrol says the truck crashed into the woods and then caught on fire. Investigators believe that driver was trapped inside of the burning truck. The interstate was closed down for a time Sunday afternoon due to visibility from smoke and also concerns for the safety of first responders on the scene of the crash. FHP is still investigating. Now, here we go again. Forecasters now tracking another area of interest in the Western Caribbean Sea and Gulf of Mexico. The National Hurricane Center giving this low-pressure system about a 50% chance of developing over the next week. If the system develops, it's expected to gradually then move into the Gulf. Forecasters are also tracking two other active storms, Hurricane Isaac and Tropical Storm Joyce. Neither of those pose any threat to land. And another tropical depression in the Atlantic Basin is expected to develop but wouldn't pose a threat to the Gulf Coast. Well, NAS Pensacola Chief Petty Officer Bree Kuhn was found guilty of her husband's murder back in September of 2021. She was in court on Thursday where she was found guilty of first-degree premeditated murder and sentenced to life in prison. It happened at a home in Gulf Breeze. Santa Rosa deputies had reportedly been called to that home several times that day. Colin Turner had called 911 and said he was locked in the garage. He was shot while on the phone with a 911 dispatcher. Kuhn has been in jail since that shooting. Marco Rubio says he's impressed with the state's response to Hurricane Helene. Rubio was on Meet the Press yesterday. He said the state is doing a great job of getting the roads cleared and open. Rubio also discussed the Israeli airstrike that killed Hezbollah's leader, Nassan Nasrallah. Rubio said Nasrallah's death lowers the threat of a broader conflict. He also said that wiping out Nasrallah and other senior leaders of the organization is a service to humanity. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper says people getting out and getting supplies is their top priority in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. Flooding in Asheville and other parts of Buncombe County in western North Carolina being described at being of biblical levels. More than 400,000 people in North Carolina are among the 2 million throughout the southeast that are still without power. A reported 250,000 people lost cell phone service. The man authorities say was lying in wait in hopes of assassinating former President Trump on a golf course in Florida is expected to be arraigned today. 58-year-old Ryan Ruth, he was arrested earlier this month after the alleged assassination plot. And it is 5:34 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We do have plenty of sunshine in store for today with a high near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. Sunny skies continue for that Tuesday, high near 86. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping back into the 60s. As we go into Wednesday, that sunny pattern does continue, high near 86, low near 69. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 65 degrees in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Join Claimology Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology will be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storm claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions, so you'll know what to do before the next storm arrives. That's Thursday at 9:30 with Claimology on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Historically, they haven't really mattered unless there's some moment. But in many ways, because Donald Trump is 78 years old, yeah, there's going to be focus on J.D. Vance.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And
really? Martha Raddatz there talking with Rachel Bade of Politico, part of their roundtable on This Week. And I didn't watch the whole show, but I did catch this couple of minutes worth of conversation about the vice presidential debate that comes up tomorrow night. And yeah, I haven't heard any of that. There was a lot of conversation about Biden and Harris because Biden was so clearly demonstrating cognitive decline. I don't hear anybody talking about that with Trump. I mean, who are you talking to? Maybe you're talking to people who are already on your side, and that's fine. I mean, you know, not that they don't matter, just that they're not, their vote is already decided. But I just don't hear that. And there is, among Republicans that I talk to, there is no assumption whatsoever that J.D. Vance is the presumptive candidate in 2028. I mean, John, you talk to people. Have you? Is there anybody that you know that's assuming that you know, if Trump wins, that J.D. Vance has a cakewalk in 2028?
Nothing.
I mean,
no assumptions.
I honestly, like, I don't even put him in the top three or four, even if he's the vice president, which is kind of weird. But just nobody's thinking this way. Nobody's thinking about him at all. They're thinking just like they're. I mean, they were talking about Tim Walz for a bit, you know, after he got picked as the vice president. I don't think anybody's thinking about Tim Walz either. They're thinking about Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. So I disagree that there's extra focus on the vice presidential debate because of, you know, Donald Trump's age. I would say instead that the vice presidential debate tomorrow night is a sideshow. I mean, it's really the kind of thing that political junkies are going to watch. You know, not quite to the degree that we would watch like the Al Smith dinner or the White House Correspondents' Dinner. It's not that niche, okay? But I don't think that the average American is going to be eagerly tuning in tomorrow night. Maybe they will. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, they might out of curiosity or some sense of civic duty. Oh, gotta eat my beans, you know? Right? 'Cause, you know, fine. I'll pay attention to the election. You know, but the polarizing power of both of the candidates is so strong that I think it doesn't matter for much. I mean, we'll cover it. I'll watch it. We'll play clips. We'll pretend it's important. You know, 'cause that's the job, I guess. But I just don't think this matters for anything. And actually, you know, Rachel Bate of Politico, she made a really interesting point about the first debate with, well, it was Donald Trump's second debate. Remember, he had a technical knockout in the first debate, which became a knockout, you know, over time. He did not do so well in the second debate. But even with that, she actually made a very good point.
I do think, though, absent some big blunder by one of these candidates, it's not going to change much in the presidential race. I mean, if you look at what polls said voters believed at the first presidential debate, they thought Kamala Harris totally wiped the floor with Donald Trump, and yet it didn't move her numbers much.
It did some, but who's undecided? I mean, seriously, like, you know, the undecided voter, both of them, in a country of 300 million people, 330 million people. I just don't think there are any. And so does the debate, especially the vice presidential debate, can you imagine somebody saying, well, I was going to vote for Trump, but boy, that Tim Walz made a good point. Like, or, well, I was going to vote for Harris, but you know that J.D. Vance, I kind of like the cut of his jib. Just, it's nonsense. It's show. It's theater. And that's fine. I mean, I'm a theater fan. You know, I know my musicals. That's what this is going to be tomorrow night.
This is going to be a really interesting and heated matchup for the political junkies, because if you think about, these two men have been responsible for some of the most viral moments on the campaign trail. I mean, Walz calling Republicans weird, that went, you know, viral. J.D. Vance and his childless cat ladies, everyone has been talking about that even since it broke. And they're both really smart and articulate men, regardless of what you think of their politics. And, I mean, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly fast. And there's going to be zingers flying left and right.
And that's why it's going to be entertaining. No, I will say this. I think that, honestly, one of the risks you run, not as much for Trump, but certainly for Harris, is you remember after Harris picked Walz, and he's older and more experienced and actually has executive experience and has flair and pretty good rhetorical skills, there were a lot of people that had the, like, but we couldn't have just picked him. You know, and I'm not saying policy-wise he's any different. I'm just saying that he upstaged her, okay? I don't think there's much risk of J.D. Vance upstaging Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is such a unique persona, right? He's such a unique brand. Hate him, love him, whatever. The people who love Trump, they're not going to be looking at J.D. Vance and be like, boy, if only we could have gotten him, right? So there's not as much. So in a weird way, there's a kind of enthusiasm risk for Harris, because maybe people like Walz so much that they feel annoyed that they're stuck with Harris. But I still don't think that's going to make anybody vote differently, and it's not likely to make anybody organize differently. it more is just going to make her look bad. And, I mean, I guess that's a real risk. The only question is, what has really come from it? And the answer is probably nothing. Probably nothing. It's, you know, like she said, there's going to be a few quotes, a few good quotes. And it ought to be entertaining. And if anything, it's going to be almost a break from the constancy of Trump or Harris. You know, it might actually be a little bit refreshing. It might be because it looks like it's going to be a real debate with capable, articulate, informed, eloquent, might be a bit much, but I know that, you know, Walz has shown himself to be eloquent at times and pithy, certainly. Vance is pithy. I'm not sure if I'd call him eloquent. But, you know, as debates go, it ought to be quite good, except that it just doesn't matter for anything. 545 on News Radio 92.3. I've got a really interesting note in here. Somebody said about Florida sending emergency response teams from Florida, where, you know, we got that hurricane first, right? Not to make light of a very serious situation and all of the flooding that's been happening all over the state and the, you know, the wind damage, surge damage. But even Florida, the governor said, hey, we got this under control. We know how to do this. We will send response teams from Florida Department of Emergency Management and FDOT and FHP and FDLE and like State Guard and National Guard. We're sending stuff to North Carolina. It's that bad in North Carolina. And we know how to do this. You know, our folks know how to do this. And also, as we talked about with Eric Gilmore last week, the director of public safety in Escambia County, it's good experience for our people. But literally the differential and devastation level is so high that we are sending people from here to there. And somebody mentioned on text, I said 437-1620. When I get information like this about our state, it makes me love my state that much more because I'm absolutely amazed. We can take a devastating storm to the face and then still help other people around us. That's inspiring. And that is true. I mean, it's, you know, somebody gets robbed and they're turning around and giving their food to the people next door whose house burned to the ground. You know, that's what we're doing as a state here in Florida. 437-1620. Okay. This is a pronunciation thing. I guess you say Buncombe is Buncombe. They've been saying it Buncombe on the news, B-U-N-C-O-M-B County. That's the one that got hit so hard in Tennessee, in North Carolina. Says somebody here who is a listener who is from Tennessee and lived in Asheville, so would well know. 437-1620, a debate on topic and about facts. Somebody says, it'll never sell. Isn't there some wrestling going on? Yeah. The poor state of American politics these days. I think that's true. Am I going to talk about what Trump said over the weekend? Yeah. Of course. God. Just make him stop. I don't think there's not anything that Trump can say that's going to get me to not vote for him out of these two people. But he is trying. He is trying. And I'm not the only one who thinks that way. Even Republicans, big Republicans. Okay, so I guess I am going to say what he said. Good Lord. I was going to wait. Make it stop. Here goes.
Joe Biden became mentally impaired. Kamala was born that way. Okay. She was born that way.
That's our guy. Oh, and he's enjoying the moment.
And if you think about it, only a mentally disabled person could have allowed this to happen to our country.
Oh, and that's not even the only one.
Kamala is mentally impaired. If a Republican did what she did.
And you got like, you know, 5 seconds worth of the crowd like, yeah, look, you hear what he said? He said it again. Said it again. Say it again, son.
If a Republican did what she did, that Republican would be impeached and removed from office. And rightfully so. For high crimes and misdemeanors. That would be high crimes and misdemeanors.
What? Mentally impaired, huh? So that's where we're at. That's where we're at. So you can say she's stupid. You can say she's ignorant. You can say she's got wrong policies. There's a lot of things you can say. And argue for those things. But to say that she's mentally impaired, So part of the problem with this, of course, is that we've got this, you know, protect the category type thing going on now where, you know, the people who defend people who are born with cognitive defects or genuine mental impairments or mental illness, you know, they're all up in arms because Trump is insulting their people. He's insulting their people by saying the vice president is in their category. I mean, I don't even know what they're saying. I don't know what anybody's saying anymore, except you shouldn't say that the vice president of the United States is mentally impaired or that, you know, Biden became that way or she was born that way. Come on, man. Ugh, just stop. Talk about the policies. You know, the policies are enough. This kind of personal, disgusting, personal slur. Unfortunately, we've kind of gotten tone deaf about it. Like, you know, what's the next most outrageous thing that Trump is going to say? Well, Harry said it. Okay, what's the next most outrageous thing that he's going to say? And it's just, it's so dumb. So I will give you my 30-second how Andrew is voting kind of analysis. I can't stand the persona that Trump puts. The brand of Trump is disgusting. But I think as a president, he made a lot of the right choices. And I think as president, again, he would make a lot of the right choices. And whatever you might think about the brand of Kamala Harris or the persona, which she kind of bothers me a lot, the actual policies, beliefs, and the 3.5 years have been utterly incompetent. Now, give us 4 more years to do what? What you didn't do for 3.5 years? I mean, you know, it's amazing. So I am putting aside, I have to, I don't know what else to do, to completely put aside all the personality and say, I got to vote on a track record. The track record under Trump was very, very good. The track record under Biden-Harris has been very, very bad. That's how I pulled the lever. Y'all didn't give me any better choices. So here we go. 551 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
Join CareerSource Escarosa on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. They'll be here to talk about the Manufacturing and Skilled Trade Career Expo on October 2nd at the Gateway Church in Pensacola, as well as the I-10 Wired Career Evolution Expo coming up on October 16th at the Hilton Conference Center on Pensacola Beach. CareerSource Escarosa looks forward to steering your career on the right path.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Did you say something about my mom?
Maybe I did, maybe I didn't.
Do you want to die, Napoleon?
Yeah, right. Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw.
Somebody weighing in on the issue of Trump and Harris and says it doesn't really matter whether the cat is white or black or has stripes or spots. If it catches mice, it catches mice. Right. Yeah. I mean, it'd be nice if it was a cat that caught mice and also you didn't hate it all the rest of the time. But, you know, okay, so there we go. That's a pretty good analogy. 554 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, if you thinking about making a career change, want to get a degree in something completely different, or just get personal enrichment courses, Pensacola State or a non-traditional, or you want to go back to school when you didn't finish it the first time, or whatever. I mean, Pensacola State has all kinds of options for all different kinds of people in all different sorts of circumstances, different class times. If you like a particular teacher, you can probably find a different time that works with them, because they're designed around the non-traditional student, which means all different kinds of schedules. It's not built for just like the full-time, daytime student. Which is great. Also, if you have a high school student or you are one, dual enrollment is an amazing opportunity to get college credit while you're taking high school courses for free, right? You get college for free during high school, including books paid for. I know our two oldest did it already for a year and a half worth of college credit. They graduated with college credit because they went to PSC for 3 years. It's not full time, right? They'd go part time. That's why it's only a year and a half credit. But anyway, so they're going to graduate university early. And my youngest was just starting that. It's a great resource. Pensacola, Warrington, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa Center, Downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu. 5:55, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Biden says he will not be getting involved in the potential strike of longshoremen. Thousands of dock workers threatening to strike this week after labor contract talks with the U.S. Maritime Alliance stalled. Financial experts say that strike could be potentially devastating to the U.S. economy.
By the way, did you hear what he said about it specifically? Is they asked him, are you going to intervene? He said, no, that's collective bargaining. So shutting down everything from Texas to Maine, every dock, every harbor from Texas to Maine, the longshoremen are going to strike if they don't get a deal by what, midnight tonight, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
And that will cripple the economy and cause more inflation. And pro-union Biden, remember, union is always 100% with the unions. Pro-union Biden is like, well, that's collective bargaining.
Well, you know, is that the type of thing a president wants to get involved in? Just a crippling blow to the economy. Yeah. Toyota recalling 50,000 vehicles over a possible safety issue. This recall announced by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration on Friday. It's for a 2023 and 2024 Corolla Cross hybrids. Toyota says the issue could cause some of those vehicles to brake suddenly and unexpectedly. So,
what could go wrong with that?
Sounds like fun.
It's
to
just
me.
Slowing you down for safety. That's all.
Absolutely.
That is.
And there's a class action lawsuit against Breyers Ice Cream, and it's now reached a settlement of $9 million. The ice cream company apparently advertised their natural vanilla ice cream flavor as having a real vanilla flavor. And that led to this big lawsuit. I don't know.
Because it was... tell me more. It was what?
Natural vanilla, and it was advertised as having real vanilla. I think maybe they used an artificial vanilla. Instead of a real vanilla.
$9 million later. Just class action lawsuit. Give me my 13 cents, please.
On behalf of vanilla ice cream lovers everywhere, this was not a frivolous lawsuit. This is understandable.
You know, just when I feel like America can defend itself, then we have nonsense like this. And okay, so $9 million.
I just wish I'd known about this. I could have got in on it.
Yeah. Well, there's probably still some.
I'm still waiting for my tuna voucher, though.
You know, email-based sign-up sheet or something. You know, that means that the trial lawyers made $3 million. Typical fee is about a third of the penalty, right? So, a third of the penalty. And the shame of it all is that the only thing that's going to happen is that who is it? Breyers? Who is the?
Yeah, Breyers. Yeah.
So all it means is that, you know, your ice cream is going to be 4 cents more per gallon or half gallon now. And just to pay for the $9 million lawsuit to the people who got their panties in a twist over the fact that they called it natural when they should have called it real or whatever. You know, it's just. And what changes? You know, what changes? Anyway, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. Since we're in the realm of like despair news, this is bad. The House Armed Services Committee is launching an investigation into reported faulty welding on attack subs and the Ford class nuclear carriers that may have been deliberate, like that may have been sabotage. They're not sure about that. They're looking into it, but they don't, you know, the concern about safety. Of course, the Navy is saying everything's safe, everything's fine, but attack subs and the new carriers, you know, may have flawed welds. Oh, my God. What, you know, between the problems with the LCS, in one case, the drivetrain, in another case, the hull cracking. I mean, the problems with this, we talked about this on Friday, like, you know, I don't want to be the one to give up on American ship manufacturing, but, and I know, look, a part of it is COVID manufacturing. You know, you don't want to buy anything that was made from 20 to 22, right? Don't buy a car that was made then, for reasons. Then again, the Chinese sank their very first submarine, so, you know, not bad by comparison. Dependable traffic.